Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Obviously, the biggest news story of the day is what's happening with the Colonial Pipeline. And as you guys know, I'm an expert in some things. I'm an expert in the media, I would say, the Kardashians, the royals, but gas and pipelines, it's a little out of my reach. So what I like to do is bring on people who know a lot about this and can answer some of your important questions. And I'm very excited about my next guest. He has a huge following on Twitter. He's one of my favorite people to follow. And he writes for Breitbart. Charlie Spearing, thank you so much for joining the show.
You bet. Thanks for having me on, Grace.
Charlie, I want to first talk about the gas shortage, and I want to get into this timeline of what Jen Psaki and the Biden administration were saying throughout the day yesterday, because you're one of the only people I saw kind of commenting on the inconsistencies of what they were saying. But first, can you just kind of explain to people who might not understand what actually happened here, what we're dealing with? I know we're not exactly sure who hacked it, but how does this work when someone hacks a pipeline and all of a sudden there's a gas shortage?
Yeah, so from what I understand, we had this ransomware attack, which is when the hackers try to infiltrate critical systems and then demand money in ransom to get their services back online. Well, we saw the Colonial Pipeline, you know, this is over 5,000 miles of pipeline on that supply fuel to the Eastern Seaboard. They shut this down on Friday after this attack, and so the Biden administration had the entire weekend to sort of prepare for any fallout from this. And certainly a lot of Americans didn't really realize what was going on until they woke up Monday and read reports about the hack and the possible consequences. But what was interesting is the White House really didn't raise the alarm on Monday afternoon during the daily press briefing.
Yeah, and that was part of what I noticed, because with Jen Psaki, there's a lot of times where she doesn't call a spade. She doesn't want to call what's happening at the border a crisis. She's the press secretary of euphemisms. Everything has like a different spin on it. But what you pointed out was yesterday they were telling us over and over again that there was not a supply shortage, and that changed around Monday evening. Can you kind of walk us through that timeline?
Yeah, so Monday afternoon, they did bring a couple experts to sort of give Americans an idea of what to expect after this hack. And Homeland Security Advisor Elizabeth Sherwood Randall said that, you know, right now there's not a supply shortage, you know, really downplaying any concerns. Obviously, Americans are, you know, looking at the reports, wondering if they have to run home and fill their gas tanks before they continue on with their work week. And then Psaki at the same time said, you know, at this point in time, I would just reiterate, we don't see a supply issue. So, well, I think a lot of people saw that and were, you know, if you trust your government, you're going to be like, oh, well, there won't be a big problem. But within hours, there were already reports surfacing online about gas shortages in North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and certainly by this morning. And then the North Carolina governor declared a state of emergency on the issue. Well, that kind of blew up the messaging. So Psaki sent out a late email around 11 o'clock p.m. acknowledging that there was a crisis and then, you know, promising that the Biden White House was on top of the issue.
And what do you think of some of these experts that you just mentioned basically saying that they're not going to comment on whether or not Colonial Pipeline should be paying ransoms because it's a private company and they're kind of letting them decide? Charlie, I just have to imagine if this was the Trump administration, people would be expecting a little bit more direction from the officials.
Right. You would have this alarm that, you know, they would sound the alarm that Trump is completely inept, completely ridiculous. It's always a fun game we can play every single day. If this was Trump, what would the media reaction be? And it's just absolutely not the same. They're falling for every single talking point from the White House, hook, line, and sinker. They weren't raising the alarm yesterday. It wasn't until, you know, this morning that things really got into gear, you know, noting the shortages. And look, we don't even know, like, and then this was also telling. Yesterday, President Biden acknowledged that this was going on. And, you know, when asked if Russia was involved, he, you know, repeated the talking point. There's no evidence that the attack was from Russia, but at the same time, he said there was evidence that some of the ransomware was in Russia. So what exactly are we getting? We're getting very few details about the source of the attack and how bad it's going to be and what the Biden administration is doing to prevent these attacks in the future.
Now, Charlie Sperry is a writer for Breitbart. You write about several different things, and something I've noticed you've been following pretty closely was the jobs report that came out on Friday. Now, Charlie, I know that very little surprises you with the media and with the Biden administration, but I'm just seeing now on your Twitter that you mention Biden at one point said, as we learned Friday, the economy created 266,000 jobs in April, promoting the disappointing numbers as an absolute win. You have to be a little taken aback that they can't even own up to the fact that this was a huge miss.
Yeah, they were not prepared for that report on Friday. They were actually preparing to celebrate the idea, you know, the estimate that they may have been able to create up to a million jobs in the month of April. So they were completely caught flat-footed on this. And you could tell that Biden was still playing cleanup on Monday. And he's basically saying, hey, you know, 200,000 jobs is at least a positive number. Really sort of trying to say that he's, you know, his economy is moving in the right direction, even though this is the first rise in unemployment since April of 2020, when the pandemic first started. So it's really bad news for the administration. And you could tell yesterday they were playing cleanup and had, you know, doubling down on this idea that the unemployment checks have nothing to do with the vanishing workforce, when, you know, people on the ground, Republicans, business owners, they know the truth. And so there's really very little the Biden administration can do here.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the most the funniest lines that he said was, we don't see any evidence in this report, in the jobs report, that unemployment checks are, you know, lessening the incentive for people to get to work. And I just kept thinking to myself, well, that's the evidence is the report. The report is the evidence. So what more do you need to see? But something else I thought, Charlie, and I want to get your take on this. Listen to this cut from Peter Doocy. And he's asking for some evidence of what they're calling fear. That's the reason people don't want to go back to work, is they're fearful. This is cut one.
Just last one really quick. The Commerce Secretary says the main reason that people are staying home is fear. How does the White House know that people are scared? What is that based on?
Well, I think what she was referring to is the fact that there was a much lower vaccination rate just a month ago, and that people are fearful about getting sick. They are fearful about whether they're going to have the conditions to be healthy, whether they can send their kids to a childcare center, whether there is a childcare center. So those are all factors that are consistent with the examples and reasons I just provided.
Charlie, what do you think? Is the Biden administration handling all of these issues in a way that the American people can trust them? Because it feels like they're just coming up with things out of thin air.
Oh, absolutely. And anytime you hear a politician speak about fear, that just gives them more power, you know? And this is just so much of what Psaki said yesterday was absolutely, focusing on this idea that, the leadership in this pandemic has been terrible because all they can focus on is fear. The federal health officials are focusing on fear. The government officials are focusing on fear. And, you know, President Joe Biden and his entire administration is focusing on fear, really proposing themselves as the answer to everyone's fears. Uncle Joe's going to make everything better, and everyone's going to be better, and everyone's going to get vaccinated, and everyone's going to go back to work. But, you know, it's never going to be enough. And if you keep running a country based on fear, There's going to be a real struggle pulling out of this pandemic.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the masking and the lockdowns and things like that, because one thing I tend to wonder when I see something like these gas shortages is maybe I'm just being overly optimistic, but I'm like, maybe they have to throw us something. Maybe they have to try to downplay the optics nightmare they're dealing with. So maybe they will kind of start opening things up and Biden might walk outside without his mask on for once. Am I being too naive to think that maybe they'd give us one thing to distract us from the other?
Well, I think it matters. I mean, we can all already tell the difference from April to May. There's definitely a lot of people that have, you know, the sun's out, it's getting nice outside, people are stepping out of their homes, and there's very little the government can do. Even if they want to, they will continue to try to restrict everyone's behavior. But I think the country as a whole is sending this message that we're done, and you will see the White House sort of shift that messaging. You already saw that yesterday when they're already talking about reopening more and more things, even before this new 4th of July milestone, when, you know, Biden initially said this was the moment, you know, the 4th of July was the moment he would let you have a small barbecue in your backyard. I think most of Americans have already passed that point, and I think it'll be interesting to see whether the Biden White House can adjust quickly to meet the moment on that and really meet the American people where they are now.
Charlie Spearing for Breitbart, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people follow you on Twitter and read all of your fabulous work?
At Charlie Spearing and at Breitbart.com.
Thank you so much, sir. Guys, when we get back, we will be talking a little bit more about this. I know people still want to share their stories from the Jimmy Carter days. Now I'm getting emails of people, photos from gas stations in the 1970s. Keep sending them. I like it. It's history for me. It's a history lesson. I was not here. I was not even close to being here in the 1970s. So I need the wisdom of my callers on a day like today. I do want to talk about the lockdown a little bit as well, including Rand Paul versus Fauci. You can never go wrong with a Rand Paul versus Fauci one-on-one. I mean, it always is fireworks. The frenzied real estate market is causing bidding wars across certain segments. Real estate brokers are holding calls for highest and best offers because demand is so high. It really is. There's very little inventory out there right now. Everything's going like hotcakes. How do you know as a seller that you've realized all the money for your property and if you've sold under the best terms? Well, you wouldn't hire a refrigerator repairman to fix your valuable car. So when selling real estate, let the bidding war experts for over 45 years sell your property quickly, contingency-free, and for true market value. You guys have heard Justin Manning on our show before. He's excellent. He really knows what he's doing, and he's very trustworthy. Recent real estate auctions for Howie Carr listeners have attracted as many as 30 qualified cash-ready buyers battling for their properties. At the end of your auction, you will know that no money was left on the table, which is a really good feeling. I think that's usually people's biggest regret after selling something is, did I get the most money that I possibly could? You will not have that feeling with JJ Manning. In a JJ Manning auction, the buyer pays, and that saves you, the seller, thousands of dollars right there. Whether residential, commercial, or land, JJ Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more on how to get your property sold quickly and contingency-free, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. We will be playing the O.J. Simpson sound on the other side. If you have been dying to hear what O.J. Simpson has to say about Liz Cheney, and yeah, that's 2021 for you. I never thought I'd be saying that sentence. We will have that after the break, so don't go anywhere. It's The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
I felt the beat of my mind.
I know we're talking a lot about the 1970s today because of the gas lines, but I just gotta say, this music is groovy, baby. I love it.
I'm sorry if I'm compounding flashbacks for anybody by playing Al Stewart.
I think people don't like, you know, reminiscing. Obviously, it's sad that we have to live through it again. But there's something fun about having people call in and say, back in my day.
Long as bell bottoms stay dead, I'm good.
Oh, my God. I would love. First of all, Jared, they're not dead. They're coming back already. That's number one. Second, I love a flared jean. I love a flared high-waisted denim moment. And that is the only part of the 70s I really want to bring back. All right. Now, before we go to the poll question and before we take all of your calls, 844-500-4242, I'm really opening this up, whether it's about gas lines, whether it's about Jimmy Carter, or whether it's about Dr. Fauci and the masks. We have a lot of updates on that. But before we get to anything, there's one man who takes precedence on the Grace Curley Show.
Speaking of the 70s.
Yeah, this is really, this episode is a throwback. That might be have to be one of the titles of today's show. It's just an absolute flashback. O.J. Simpson, he's known for a lot of things. One of the things he's known for is his political mind. You know, his instincts. When you think political wisdom, you often think O.J. Or as Howie always says, O.J. He puts the emphasis on the J. I've never understood that. O.J. Listen to what O.J. Simpson had to say about Liz Cheney. Cut 10.
Watching cable news is all about Liz Cheney. Now, I got to admit, I was not a fan of Liz Cheney. Don't get me wrong. I'm 50-50 on her politics, but I didn't like her. And then I just realized recently the reason I didn't like her had to do with her father, probably my least favorite politician of my adult life, former Vice President Dick Cheney.
I just want to pause it there for a second. I know it's not over, but if you're either Liz Cheney or Dick Cheney listening to this and O.J. Simpson saying that he doesn't like you, I'm just saying, you invest in some good security.
Yeah, you're a blonde, Liz. Watch your back.
It's a little intimidating.
Allegedly.
Imagine waking up to that. You're like, you expect, you know, people on Fox, whatever. You expect that certain people are going to be criticizing you, but then you start getting calls from people, hey, O.J. Simpson, he sent out his hot take on your current situation. All right, keep playing it.
Then I saw a show the other day, and I saw a quote by Voltaire that said that patriotism was the enemy of mankind. Thought about that a little bit. Somehow I started thinking about the Republican Party. And it seemed that fact-based truth and honesty seem to be the enemy of many of these Republican politicians. And Liz Cheney stands up for the truth.
I know we talk a lot about how SNL isn't funny anymore, but to be fair, real life is so much more entertaining. It is hard to parody this stuff. And what did I tell you guys the other day? I said, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but this is one of the only things that I really think people need to take away today. And that is, if certain people hate you or if certain people think you're doing something wrong, you're probably doing a good job. And the reverse is true. If certain people are on your side, then I might not be your biggest fan. If Nancy Pelosi is praising Lynn Cheney and then O.J. Simpson weighs in, I don't know. I feel like I'm on the right side of this fight. I'm proud of my spectator piece. I think people should check it out. O.J. Simpson would not like it. He much prefers Voltaire. But for you guys, spectator.us, I think you would enjoy it. All right, let's do the poll question here first. People have a lot to talk about on the phone lines. They want to discuss these gas lines, and we will get to that. Today's poll question is brought to you by Covfefe Coffee, making coffee great again. From the MAGA Dark Roast to their Drain the Swamp Medium Roast, we all love Covfefe here. Howie's back, and you guys know he loves hot black coffee, so he has been digging Covfefe. They really have it all. To order today, go to doyoucofefe.com. It's spelled C-O-V-F-E-F-E. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What part of Biden's normal presidency concerns you the most? Open borders, awful jobs report, gas lines, or attacks on Israel?
I think attacks on Israel, because everything happening in the Middle East, I think we all took for granted for the last 4 years how much peace there's been, and that freaks me out.
7% say attacks on Israel. 80% say open borders. That's in the lead.
All righty.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Gas lines at many stations were a lot longer than normal.
Line today is longer than it's ever been. I have no explanation for it.
This gas line at one station on the Upper West Side ran from 96th Street and West End Avenue all the way up to 102nd Street. As might be expected, the longer the line and waiting time, the angrier some motorists became.
I just asked my younger sister, I said, do people your age care when the price of gas goes up? Does that bother you guys? She said, yeah. I don't think there's anything people can really do about it, though. And I said, yeah, no. And my sister's, you know, she's not a left-wing nut. So I understand what she means by that. But what I always think is, well, I hope that the younger people see the gas prices and realize there is something they can do about it. They can vote. They can act like a Democrat that's been mugged at the gas pump and vote for a Republican.
These clips were playing from WPIX back in the 70s.
Throwbacks. There's a lot of drama right now. The White House said there was no gas shortage before acknowledging the problem hours later. You guys have heard about this, what is happening right now. It's Colonial Pipeline. They're responsible for a huge amount of fuel, and their pipeline was hacked. It was a cyber attack. Some people think it was a Russian cyber attack. We're not exactly sure. You know, this White House is so transparent. I'm sure we will know within hours. I'm sure there will be no, you know, semantics or avoiding the issue here. All right. Saki is going to be circling like crazy today. And she actually had a great back and forth with Peter Ducey. I played a little bit of that, but I'll play some more in a second. But first, let's go to the calls. You guys have been waiting a while. Tony, you're next with Grace. Go ahead, Tony.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, could I get the voice changer, please?
Yes, you can. I'm glad you asked. Howie Carr let me borrow the voice changer. We will definitely play that. Just give us 1 second here, Tony. I'm so interested why you need the voice changer. I'm intrigued.
Well, I don't want to be identified by anybody that might want to bring me back to the 70s. It was bad enough once.
Okay, go ahead, Tony. You got the voice changer. No one will be able to recognize your voice now.
Right. Well, I was a kid in the 70s and we lived in Southern California, and you had to have special license plates, your odd numbered plates. You could get gas one day. If you had even number plates, you could get gas another day. Also, there were flags. If they put a red flag out, it meant a certain plate number could get gas, or a different colored flag, you were allowed to get gas that day. And the lines were probably about 3 miles long, and there was nothing anyone could do. So the kids would get out of the car. My parents actually had a Ford Pinto. So the kids would get out and we'd all play together while we waited in line, because it was that long and it was ridiculous.
You know, Tony, that makes me think of a story that someone else just told me about a gas station where they were waiting so long in line that the dog died or something like that. He's a friend of mine. His name's Howie. He's going to be in
Poor
here later.
Poor dog died. The dog died.
But you know what's interesting about this is that I think there's a lot of people who tune out politics. And yes, does that drive me crazy? Sure. But do I understand it to a degree? Yeah. If you can make a nice living for yourself without having to worry about these losers in D.C., hats off to you. But I think that there's some things that are happening during this Biden administration that can really lead to a one-term presidency. And the difference is Barack Obama had, you know, terrible policies and he had a terrible vision for the country. There's no denying that. But to understand how dangerous the Obama administration was, you had to really kind of pay attention. You know, you had to see the long game, and he was kind of boiling the frog in a lot of ways, and he could hide it a little bit. He's a great speaker, and, you know, he's a fairly charming person. So I think you really had to be tuned in to all of the different elements of the Obama administration. What differentiates this Joe Biden administration, the Biden-Harris-Doug administration, is that this is stuff that you do not have to be involved in politics or politically inclined to understand. If you're waiting in a line for gas, you get it. Do you know what I'm saying? It's things that are a little bit more direct. If your kids aren't back in school, you don't have to know exactly who Randy Weingarten is, the head of the teachers union, to understand that this sucks. You get it. It's more immediate. It's not an idea. It's not something that you're going to realize 20 years later. People who are not interested in politics, hopefully, will see this hit their wallets, will see this affect their lifestyle, and they'll understand it in a more direct way. And I say that, maybe I sound naive, but I say that optimistically, hoping that people's eyes will be opened by this. Because not everybody follows this every day. Not everybody checks Twitter or Breitbart or Red State or the Boston Herald or Spectator. There are people who just drive and then go to work and then go home, and they're not worried about the minutiae of all of these news stories. But let me tell you, if your kids aren't in school and they're sad and they're falling behind, if you're paying a lot for gas, or worse, you're waiting in line for gas, if your 401k starts to drop, you figure it out. You know, it does become part of your day to day. There's a lot that Joe Biden is doing that is affecting people's day to day. Nick, you're next with Grace. Go ahead, Nick.
How you doing, Grace?
Good. What's going on?
I'm not believing this so-called pandemic gas crisis for a second. If anything, it was intelligence agencies in the United States that pulled that baloney. If in fact there was any hacking, and if it was IP addresses from the source computers can be falsified. Just like the phantom phone calls that you get in your phone every day. They're not really coming from the people that dial. Anyways, what they're doing is, as they usually do, is dodging the fact of the economy. The guests that you had on, you were talking about the bad jobs report. But just like the Obama administration, which they only do once a month, they talk about the jobs they created. And sometimes they would actually tell you how many jobs we lost that month. What they never tell you is how many they've lost for the year. They claim they created 1.6 million jobs. They admit in their statistics, labor statistics, we have lost 13.6 million jobs. Those are all initial job claims, unemployment job claims, by the way. They never tell you this. They did it for 8 years with Obama. He claimed they created 40 million jobs. They didn't tell you how many they lost, but
yeah,
it was gargantuan.
And it becomes, and I know I say this all the time, and I'm joking, of course, but it is a serious thing. It does become fuzzy math. None of this math means anything. We saw that with the infrastructure bill. I think it was the infrastructure. There have been so many spending bills where Pete Buttigieg said it's going to create X amount of jobs. And it was this huge number, like 16 million. I don't have the exact number. I got to look at that. But without that spending bill, there was going to be a huge portion of that was already going to be created. So the actual number that his spending bill, the models projected it would create, was much lower. But this is how they do it. I don't buy any of these numbers, especially not when they're coming out of Joe Biden's mouth. The number stuff coming out of Joe Biden's mouth, it goes right over my head. If you take any of those numbers seriously, if you listen to him and go, oh, 400,000, 200 million, oh, that sounds good, we're doing pretty good here, then whew, enjoy your time at the gas line. That's all. You deserve it. That's all I have to say about that. Thank you so much for the call. Jeff, you're next with Grace. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi, Grace. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I'm in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and having firsthand witnessed the gas lines here this morning, and most of the stations are now out. So I'm 72 years old, and in the 70s, I actually worked at a Sunoco station part-time when we went through the gas crisis back then. And every customer, I think, felt that I was personally responsible for the high price and the lack of fuel. and I would hear the wrath as I would fill their tank or give them what they were allowed. It was an interesting time.
That's my pet peeve, Jeff, because I used to be a waitress, and when you tell someone, they'd say, how much is it? And then you tell them, and they'd, that's ridiculous. I'm like, you think I own this place? I work here. Damn it. I'm just trying to get by. Yeah, no, but people's frustration, Jeff, it's going to, the silver lining of it is that it gets people a little bit more focused on the actual problems. Like, for so long, we got so spoiled. People thought that the worst thing in the world was Trump tweeting about Stormy Daniels. It's not that bad. That doesn't cost you any money. Trump's tweeting was free. This is about to cost you.
Speaking of tweets, unironically, 20 minutes ago, the @POTUS account, the verified blue checkmark account of President Joseph Robinette Biden, tweeted, "We're working hard to ensure that transportation is less of a barrier when it comes to getting a COVID-19 vaccine. And I'm excited to share that starting May 24th, Uber and Lyft will offer everyone in America free rides to vaccination sites."
Oof.
Unironically promoting this when they can't even get gas to cars.
Yeah, and you know what I was just thinking? I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of times with this COVID stuff, and we will get into it, I have so much sound here to get through in a short amount of time, but I've been enjoying chatting with everyone about this. One of the examples I give a lot with COVID is when people say, well, you know, when Fauci says, if we wore masks seasonally, the droplets, it's conceivable that the droplets, you know, blah, blah, blah. And people talking about, well, if you did this, if you did this, if you wear five masks, if you quarantine, yada, 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 then you decrease the chance of getting the flu or getting COVID or getting a strain. And I say, well, of course. And if you don't drive to work, you lessen the chance of getting in a car accident. And yet we all still drive. Maybe they're trying to fix that problem as well. Because if you cannot get in your car and drive anywhere, then those numbers are going to plummet.
Can't have gas lines if you don't have cars.
And there we go. That was all of the problems of the day solved in 20 seconds by me and Jared. Jared and I. All right, we have a lot more to get to here. We do have some crazy sound that I need you guys to hear, including Randy Weingarten. She was on with Martha McCallum last night. I don't know if you saw this, Jared, but she's such a fraud, and you're not going to believe who she's trying to blame for this. Obviously, she's trying to blame Trump. But she's also trying to blame Fox News for why the schools aren't open. Like, the buck stops anywhere but near a Democrat. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. I'm going to hold it up for the YouTube. This is a great device, whether you cook a lot, whether you have a damp smell in your basement, whether you have allergies. You just plug in this small device right here. It's like the size of a computer charger. And you just turn the nozzle, and it starts to purify the air, and you will smell, you'll really smell the absence of odor, which is a great smell. It's like right after it rains out, that fresh, clean smell. And it really does help with people who have, you know, sneezing and coughing and are kind of congested. Right, Jared?
Right. It's been great for my allergies. And if I'm going to be sitting in a gas line for 7 hours, I'm going to want to have the windows open. And if my windows are open, I'm going to need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm to get rid of any allergens and pollutants or viruses in the air around me by ionizing that air and making super oxygen. And you can plug it into your car, because it's got a little cord that connects to your USB port. You just plug it in, turn it on, and your car is fresh and breathable.
Right now, you can get the Thunderstorm at the lowest price available. Just use code word GRACE, and you'll save an additional $10 off the sale price and get free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put in code word GRACE at checkout. You don't need air filters for this. That's one less thing to worry about. It's very small, but it's very, very effective. So what you want to do one more time is go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and then enter code word GRACE at checkout. More calls are coming in. People still want to talk about this. Guys, I'm not going to fight it, all right? If you want to talk about the gas lines, if you all want to go back to memory lane and talk about this, we will. But we have a few other things to get to as well. Do not go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back.
She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
See, the great thing about Jared is I didn't have to say to him, like, hey, I want to play 1970s music, play this song, play that song. I just said, play the 1970s, and whatever you come up with, I trust. And it's panned out for me, because this stuff is fire. All right, I do have to ask a question, though, Jared. I recognize most of these sound cuts on my cut sheet, except for I don't know who Malcolm Flex is. But I'm curious by the title of this.
Malcolm Flex posted a video on Twitter. That's his handle, at MalcolmFlex48. As far as I know, he's just a guy who feels like the rest of us.
Okay, let's play it.
Boy, it sure is such a great day now that Orange Man is gone. I'm sure glad we don't have to worry about those mean tweets anymore. Oh, what's this? My gas tank is running empty? Let me just pull over on the side of the road and fill my tank up with that good old social media goodwill. Now that there are no more mean tweets, my car gets even more mileage. Oh, what's this? Gas stations are closed? Oh, crap. Guess I better go ahead and dig into my pocket and get $100,000 so that I can go buy a new electric car. Oh, wait, inflation hit? That electric car is now $400,000? Oh, wait, now you can't even buy them because there are production shortages? Oh, well, at least Twitter's nice. No more Orange Man, no more mean tweets, hooray! What's this? The gas pipelines just got attacked? Cyber attack? Joe Biden doesn't know what the internet is? Joe Biden's asleep? Well, at least no more Orange Man tweets! Yay!
Hooray! I feel so good. I'm broke and I'm depressed, but I feel so good. That's great. I love him, Malcolm Flex. Well done. Jake, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jake.
Yes, good afternoon. I go back to the 70s. I was invited to join the Army in 72. I had an MGB sports car to drive. Gas cost me 30 cents a gallon. I had a 10-gallon tank, and a $10 bill would take me all day long traveling.
Wow.
When I got out of the service, I went in the Merchant Marine. I used to sail on a tugboat that went from Staten Island to Albany, Staten Island to Providence, Rhode Island, Staten Island to Boston, East Boston, that kind of place.
Yeah.
And then I'd ride it. You know, another trip might take us into Portland, Maine. So that was motor fuel, diesel fuel, and heating oil. So you could tell, you know, more heating oil in the winter. Sometimes it ramped up a little bit in the fall.
So what do you think
and
of what's
my
happened?
Jake,
what do you think of what's happening right now?
Well, the real problem is the supply. The transport of fuel has shifted from tugboats and ships to these pipelines, so you don't have available tank ships and available tank barges with crews ready to take up the slack.
That's interesting. I like I said before, I'm not an expert on any of this. I know there's gas lines, I know there's gas shortages, and I do appreciate the call, Jake. You sound like you know a lot about this, so we appreciate it. And when we get back, though, I do want to shift gears here. As much as I love talking about what we all knew was going to happen, I do want to talk a little bit about the teachers' unions, because Randy Weingarten was on TV, and it didn't go that well. She probably thought it went pretty well, but I disagree. We'll have that sound for you, and we'll take more calls. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.